Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Burt Show.
Look, if you want to freak people out in a horror movie, then have the kid be the one that sees spirits, not the adults, right?
Uh-huh.
Kristen is heading in that direction.
Okay, so this is all for all the parents out there. If you've ever had a kid say something to you that just freaked you out, whether it comes, like, whether it's in the form of spirits or past lives, ghost, you name it, 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. Because what happened was, there I was at Sweet Peach getting a wax with my legs in the air, okay?
That's where the spirits come from.
So I'm not even exaggerating. So I'm there getting my wax and it's time to do the backside. And normally I flip over, right? And you spread the cheeks, but instead she just had me throw my legs in the air. And I'm like, well, this is neat. Okay.
Hi, not her first day. No. That's a veteran.
And we had been sitting there chatting the whole entire time as I'm getting my Brazilian. And she was talking. She has a 9-year-old daughter. I was telling her about my son, what I was doing that weekend. I mean, she like knew my whole life story. And then as I'm sitting there holding my legs in the air, she says her nine-year-old daughter said verbatim, "Mom, out of all the past lives I've had, you're the best mom."
Uh-oh. I'll stop you in your tracks.
Uh-huh. So out of 9 years old, to her mom, just having a conversation, out of all the past lives I've had, you're by far my best mom.
Now, at 9 years old, that's very different than a kid saying that at like 4 years old.
True. But still, what 9-year-old knows about past lives?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I mean, they know about Pokemon. But what do they know about past lives?
It sounds like my 3-year-old. I told you guys one day, she was watching me put on makeup. And she goes, "I used to wear makeup." And I said, oh really? When? She goes, "When I was a mom, I had a son." And I was like, okay, all right, we're going to go ahead and stop this conversation. She does weird things like that. She was in the bathtub the other day, staring at the shower curtain, acting like she was listening. And I'm like, what are you looking at? And she started to tell me, stops, looks back to the spot, and goes, "I changed my mind." And then she was laying on the changing table, staring at the ceiling, again, looking like she was listening to someone. And I was like, what are you looking at? And she goes, nothing. And so just because I'm a paranoid person, I go, "Did they tell you not to tell me about them?" And she said, "Yes." And that's when I said, led to the conversation. I said, "If anybody ever tells you not to tell mommy or daddy about you, that's not a good person."
Even if they're not in the room and they're not a real person.
Yeah. And then I went in the room later and I kicked them out verbally.
Hey, Megan, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining the convo. What you got?
I have a gonna be 3-year-old, but in October, so he's about a little over 2. He was our great sleeper, always slept in his crib. And all of a sudden he started screaming in the middle of the night. We'd go in and comfort him and get him calmed back down. And then he started during the day telling us about this old man in his crib. And we're like, what? And he'd be like, "There's an old man in my crib." And so we started like, we didn't really feed into it. But then he started getting more and more detailed. He'd be like, "He has white hair." And then he'd be like, "He touched my face." And then he would take us in there and show us where he would sit in the crib, which was like on the north end of the crib. And he'd always sleep against the south end. And so he got to the point he wouldn't even get in his crib anymore. He'd just scream. And then we'd put another bed in there, and I would lay in this twin-size bed, and we'd look at his crib, and he'd talk about the man still. So we finally just got rid of the crib, and the man, he hasn't mentioned the man since then.
Okay. So you kept your son, got rid of the other.
Somebody had to go.
Yeah, somebody had to go. That crib wasn't big enough for everybody. Tony, good morning. When did your kid freak you out?
Good morning. He was 4 years old at the time, and he was drawing in my room with me, and he got up in the middle of drawing out of the blue and just turned to me and said, "Mom, I died." And I was like, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I died. I got shot in the back." And I was like, "By who?" And he said, "The police." And I was like, "Okay." And he just turned back around and started drawing like nothing even happened.
What?
Have you heard those stories of kids who have said that they've died in past lives and maybe have a birthmark or somewhere where they said they did, but then were able to lead police to the location of where they died, and upon investigation, there was a body there?
Mm-hmm. It's that's funny good. That you're mentioning a birthmark, because that's what Abby's Gabby here is about to tell us. Hey, Gabby.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yes, so my son was 6 years old, and we were just driving the car, just having a conversation, and he tells me, yeah, in my past life, I had an accident on the highway, and that's how I died, and that's how I got the birthmarks that he has on his face. So he has two on his face. He has one on his nose, and he has one on the top of his forehead between, like, his hairline and his actual forehead. And I'm like, that's so weird, because I've heard that before. Like, wherever your birthmark is, that's where you got injured in your past life. But I never really gave it any attention, because mine is kind of on my buttock area. So I'm like, how did I die from that?
That's a story you don't want told. I don't think.
Snake bite to the butt.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it was so weird just hearing him say that.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
And they have more credibility because they're kids.
Yeah.
It comes from an adult, you're like, shut up, you're drunk.
You're jaded. Yes, you're drunk.
The Burt Show.
All right, Sandra here needs some help here. You know how, like, a lot of people will have, I think they used to call them whoobies from back in the day? Like, things that you hold on to from your childhood that give you comfort. It could be a blanket. It could be a doll that you still have as an adult.
Yeah, no, Jimmy, he's got a lovey. He's got this little horsey that literally goes everywhere with us. And whenever we travel, unbeknownst to him, we bring backup horsey. Because if everything happens to first horsey, we have to have backup horsey.
Hey, Sandra, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you in trouble. You in trouble.
So much trouble.
What'd you do?
Oh, God. Okay, so my husband had a childhood blankie that he called Lovey, and I threw it away by accident.
How do you throw that away by accident?
Because his mom, like, gave him this box of stuff. And I didn't know that, like, this blanket was in it. And so he was going through the box of stuff, and he left the blanket on the kitchen counter. It's like one of those, like, mini lamb blankets. But honestly, to me, it just looked like a dirty cleaning rag. And he had just, like, kind of left it around. And so I threw it out. I threw it into the kitchen trash. And he asked me, you know, he was like, "Hey, have you seen my blanket?" And first, I didn't know what he was talking about. I was like, "Blanket, you know," because really, it looked like a little gross, like tattered, like rag that you'd like clean the kitchen or clean a car with. Honestly, it looked disgusting. And like, I was just like, "No, I didn't see it." And then he like was kind of looking around, kind of frantically, and he's like, "Did you see it? Like a mini lamb blanket is like." And I was like, "Oh my God!" And I was like, "No, didn't see it." And so like. But this was, like, after he threw out the kitchen trash. That's why. So I'm just like, there's, like, no way to get, like, it's in the dumpster now of our building. So I don't know.
Oh, you're about to go dumpster diving.
Yeah, right. So this is.
In there. God. And so I was just like, "No, babe, I'm sorry. I didn't see it."
So this is so much more than a blanket to him, man. It probably is attached to so many childhood memories, great memories. It's like his comfort thing. And there you go. And you tossed it away.
How old is he?
How old? He's like 42.
42 or 32? 42. Did he specifically, as a 42-year-old man, go, "Hey, what'd you do with Lovey?"
I mean, oh, God.
So, yes. Oh, yeah. I will say, stuff like this is very nostalgic. You guys might remember a few Christmases ago, Tracy, our operations manager, I mentioned this one time in passing, that in kindergarten for show and tell, I took a Donald Duck radio and I described it to her. She found that radio on eBay, and when she gave it to me, I cried like a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my friends in college had her blankie, and it was so ratted. And I didn't have a blankie like that, so I didn't understand the emotional significance. So I got drunk one day with my other friend and thought it'd be fun to hide it and give her a scavenger hunt to find it again. That did not go over well.
No.
Really?
I mean, we're talking a college-aged woman crying because, and it was in the house. I just hid it in a closet. Stupid, drunk move, but there is an emotional attachment. It is like woven into your soul when you talk about being an adult and hanging on to a childhood blankie.
Well, he didn't even do it. Mom did. You said she gave him a box of stuff and Lovey was in the box?
Yeah. I'm like, but like it's clear, like the way he's acting, like that he thinks he lost it and he is freaked out.
Yeah.
That he lost it, like he was excited to have it again, and like but so it's like in, you know, the kitchen trash, which is in a bag, but then that bag got thrown into the dumpster of our apartment complex.
Well, so how much do you love this man? How are you willing to go dumpster diving for him?
Oh my God. I don't even know how to find it. There's probably like a million bags in there if it's even still in there. Oh my God.
You know what your trash looks like. Like, think of this like a valuable piece of jewelry that you threw away.
Mm-hmm.
If you threw away a ring that like maybe your grandmother gave you, you would be tearing through those bags. You just rip one open. Do you recognize the trash? Yes, dig more. If not, keep going.
I think even if you go in there, right, and you go through the trash, the dumpster, and you don't find anything, at least you can come clean with him later on in the day and say, hey, this was my fault. I tried to make it up to you. Ugh. I still stink like the trash. I went in there to try to get that thing for you because I know how much it means. And that'll probably go a really long way.
You got to do it to him while you still got the dumpster stuff on you. Yeah. Like, you got to have the trash juice dripping from your face. That's how you get him to forgive you.
Have you guys ever been in a dumpster?
Yes.
No.
Ugh.
Why were you in a dumpster?
Were you in there?
No, that's another story for another time.
Yeah, that another time is 10 minutes. All right, Sandra, are you willing to go into that dumpster? Because if so, we want to talk to you afterwards.
I think I have.
Get in there and then wait for him to come home. Do not change your clothes.
No.
Do not take a shower. Nothing. All right, but when you get back, give us a call, okay?
Okay.
All right, it's a Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
We're about to get Sandra back on here in a couple of minutes. That was about to dumpster dive to find her husband's, like, comfort blanket from childhood, right? So when we go to break, we are all talking about the fact that at least three of us in here have been in dumpsters before.
Voluntarily.
Well, mine was not voluntarily.
Aww.
But if you have ever had to be, if you have ever had to go into a dumpster, we want to know the history behind this. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Kristen, you start.
Yeah, so I've definitely been in a dumpster before. You don't have to save that. But mine wasn't like, it wasn't anything like scandalous. We literally were poor college kids. We saw a chair in a dumpster and we're like, that would be great for our apartment. That looks like a perfectly good chair. So we climb in there and like drag this chair out of the dumpster, and then you pull it out and you're like, oh, there is a reason why somebody threw this piece of crap in the dumpster. But I mean, the stench as you're in there, I can be like, it like just permeates your nostrils.
Well, just when you walk by a nasty smelling one, man, you just can't get that out of your nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, this was when I was in college and I was on my sorority's exec board. I was in charge of all the new member stuff. And the crazy thing about sororities is they give you so much power over money and very expensive property. And so I was the new member educator and I was in charge of all these pledge pins. And these things, they're like the size of your pinky nail, but they're like $200 each. They're like solid gold. It's crazy. So I'm cleaning out my dorm room one day because I'm a hoarder and I just start throwing stuff away. All of a sudden, I realize the box that I was keeping like $10,000 worth of pledge pins in, gone. So I go dumpster diving for it. Had to really dig deep because it had been a couple of days. Thank God the dumpster had not been cleared out yet.
and I found it.
You did?
Oh, wow.
It's all good. Thank you. My sorority can keep me in its alumni graces.
Well done.
Thank you.
Let me tell you one of the greatest pranks of all time. So
on you?
On me. So I was living in Dallas at the time and was running with a pretty fun crowd. And we decided to take a dude's weekend to Chicago. First time I'd ever been in Chicago, right? So we're getting our drink on all weekend long. And we had a really early flight back on Sunday. And we partied all night on Saturday night. And we pretty much watched the sun rise on Sunday while we were still drinking, right? So the only amount of time we really had between the end of our drinking and getting to the airport was just the taxi ride. And this was before Uber. So we're in the taxi on the way to the airport, and all of us are super drunk when one of them decides to tell the driver to stop on the side of the road over by Lake Michigan. They all get out, and we're messing around on the beach when all of them decide to throw me into Lake Michigan on the way to the airport.
Stop this.
So I'm going to be soaking wet on the plane. Smelling like Lake Michigan on the way. That's as bad as it gets, right? Well, there was a dumpster there also. So after I got out of Lake Michigan, they threw me in the dumpster as well.
Come
so
on.
I had no time to wash clothes, shower, anything in the taxi, in the airport, on the plane, on the way back to Dallas.
Oh, my God.
In what world is that funny?
Why? That's not funny. That's just sad.
It was a guy's weekend, and I didn't think twice about it. I thought it was funny as hell.
You remained friends really? With these men?
Yeah, they were some of my best friends. It was hilarious.
What?
Didn't bother me not even a little bit.
Did they have to sit beside you on the plane?
Hell no.
Someone else
Hell
did.
Hell no. So there I am walking through the airport smelling like Lake Michigan and a dumpster.
And just laughing
and dripping
the whole time.
Wet. Yeah. Sopping wet.
Sopping wet.
Like you take your shoes off at security and literally water pours out of them.
But so drunk at the time that it seemed like a fun time.
I'm surprised they let you on the plane.
I am too.
Right? I don't think that they can kick you off for something like that.
But just being wet.
Nowadays, I think they can kick you off for whatever they want.
Winston, good morning. You have been in a dumpster.
Oh, yeah, plenty of times.
Plenty. So,
for my job, like, I do groundskeeping and stuff like that. So, for my job, I have to kind of play in a dumpster. So, I was working at a property, and you know, like, when the trash gets full, somebody has to go in there and kind of, like,
stomp it down.
The trash. Yeah. So, one day, I'm in there. Me and my coworker were pushing the trash down, right? And my glasses fall into the dumpster. And I am blind without my glasses, let me tell you. So we're looking for, I mean, we have to get up in it.
Mm.
I have to get up in it.
Mm.
And long story short, I don't find my glasses.
Oh.
And I'm smelling like trash the rest of the day because this happened in the morning. And I don't even know how I made it home.
Yeah, there's no getting that stank off you. I know that. Mm-hmm. Not for a long time. All right, Carissa, you have been in a dumpster.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, so this is a long time ago, but you guys know those, like, crab boil places where they put the paper on the table, you eat with your hands.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I had, at the time, a boyfriend, and I had, like, a promise ring from him, and I took the ring off. I didn't want to get dirty, and I put it on the paper. Well, I forgot about it, and it got thrown away, and the next day, I went there in the dumpster with my best friend, and we dug through that nasty, nasty trash.
And that, wait, all the crab carcasses, like, all that day-old seafood crab carcass?
Yeah, it smelled so good after the next day.
Oh,
yeah, it was nasty.
Did you find it?
And I did not find the ring.
Oh. I think when we're lining all these up, it's like, nope. And I went in there and I didn't find anything that I was looking for. So let's see if Sandra did. So Sandra called us a couple of minutes ago, said she had to go into the dumpster to find her husband's, like, youthful blanket. There's just so many memories that are wrapped up in it. So she was willing to go into the dumpster because she accidentally threw it in there and try to find the thing. All right, Sandra, A, how you smelling? B, did you find it?
Oh, my God, it was so gross. It's so gross. Like, oh, my God. Like, somebody, like, threw out, like, a bunch of shredded paper in there. And then, like, I don't know, it was like eggshell day, an apartment four, like, I just don't know why it was like so disgusting. And I've got like shredded paper and like eggshell and like gross, like sticky juice in my hair right now.
Yeah, the
and,
shredded like, paper should be the like last someone... on your list. Right. That's the last like, thing I'd be worried
like,
about.
Filled with like sticky, disgusting stuff. And then someone threw a litter box in there, like a dirty cat litter, like, anyways, but like, so I did find it. I did find it.
Hey,
did.
All right.
Okay.
The lovey lives on.
I have it.
Okay, but you found it. Like,
I found it, but like you say, I have to stay like this. Do I still have to stay all gross?
No,
I found it. No, right?
No, because okay. You found it.
Okay. Or do you let him know? Awesome. Hey, this morning, I lied. I accidentally threw your lovey away, but I went into the dumpster and I went through all the trash and I found it. Will that get you bonus points with your significant other?
I mean, I think I have to because like I have to wash it. Yeah.
If I dump it, go on a dumpster for you, I'm telling you.
Right? I want you to know.
Even if I was the cause of it being in the dumpster, I still want you to know that I love you so much I went in there to look for it.
No way. You didn't know me well enough to know that you threw away one of the most important things to me.
Accident.
Heck no. You wash that lovey and you say, babe, I found your lovey. I forgot I put it in the laundry for you. There you go.
Ain't no way.
I want points.
You don't get points for fixing your screw up.
It's like messing it up more by washing it. Oh my God.
Yeah, because then you're going to wash it and it's going to go, it's not the same. I liked it dirty. It had my childhood smells on it. All right, Sandra, thanks for filling us in. It's a Bird Show.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bird Show.
Mo and Abby, let me throw this at you here. Have a friend all excited about going on a first date with a woman, right? They meet online, swipe left, right, and whatever, right, whatever it is. Never been on one, don't know. Is it left?
It's right.
It's right. Okay. Yeah. And then they take the relationship off of the app, and now they're texting each other and they're calling each other, and it gets to be the time where they're going to go actually meet face-to-face for the very first time.
Oh, amazing.
So she says to him, hey, I just want to let you know in a text. I just want to let you know. I want to set the expectation here. I don't pay for dates until we're in an established relationship. Mm. Okay. So my friend is waffling between being put off, but also trying to turn it into something positive. Well, at least she's being honest with me, and I know what the expectation is. And when he ran it by me, my knee-jerk reaction was turned off. But she's telling you what she's all about right off the bat.
Yeah, at the very least, she's being honest about what she expects. He just has to decide for himself whether or not he thinks she's being an a-hole for having that kind of expectations. Because you're allowed to have whatever boundaries, standard expectations you want to have in a relationship, but you're not entitled to anything. So he has to decide whether or not, like, that's a turnoff for him.
No.
I respect the honesty.
Yeah.
And the point of being honest so early is so that the other person can make a decision upon whether or not they're put off by your honesty. In which, if I was him, yes, I would be put off by her honesty.
You would be put off.
100%.
But isn't there that uncomfortable time, like at the end of the date, where you're not really sure who's going to pay and who's not going to pay? Maybe she's gone through it so many different times that she's just like, let's not have this awkwardness right now. I just want to let you know until we go out a couple of different times, you're paying for these dates.
Honestly, I literally hate the part of every first date because it never is just kind of like, oh, no, I'll get it. It's always this weird, like, me grabbing from my purse and, like, pretending that I'm going to pay for it and being like, okay, here I go. And then he kind of, like, looks at me and then he'll, like, shove it away and be like, no. And then I'll be like, yes. And he's like, no and yes. And it's just so uncomfortable that I kind of respect it, but I do think it does sound a little entitled.
I'm a little surprised by your answer considering how much you endorse this whole honesty thing, 100% honesty, and also the fact that you do pay for the first date no matter what anyway, but the fact that it is sort of a requirement of hers turns you off, even though you would do it anyway.
I would. So Well, I think when you say that you respect honesty and you appreciate when people are honest, I think people automatically assume that that means I'm always going to be comfortable with your answer. Like, that's not exactly what that means. I respect that you're being honest, but I might not like it.
Yeah.
And it's not uncomfortable for me at the end of a first date because I always expect to pay. If you reach for the wallet, great. If you don't, great. Either way, I plan on paying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at her for not wanting to pay. It's something about the whole making it a big warning before we even get there. That I can't even put my finger on why, but it just would be a turnoff for me.
So if she framed it differently, if it was like, hey, I just want to avoid the awkwardness of the end of the date here, like who's going to pay? You're going to pay the first couple of times.
So, I don't think you should even mention it.
Okay.
Like that would just to even mention that for me would make me uncomfortable. Like I don't even know why, okay. To be honest, but it would.
All right. She sounds hella entitled.
Exactly that.
Yeah. I would have been put off by it initially also. I was going to pay anyway. I would have paid anyway.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So we need your help, you guys, with our podcast. And we're going to do two things at the same time here. We're going to clear Kaylee's good name because he feels like he's getting flamed online for a problem that really he doesn't have anything to do with. And we are trying to figure out a technical problem on our podcast that we need your help identifying when it happens.
Yeah, so I don't think it applies to everybody. I think it's like a circumstance. But sometimes, lately, we have been seeing some people complaining, some on social media, some not even contacting us, just going ahead and leaving us a bad review for... whoever is editing the podcast, mm-hmm. That's what it's, whoever's editing the podcast. And when I see that, I'm like, yeah, pretty much. And when I see that, I'm like,
and who edits the podcast?
Me. Now, have I ever made a mistake? Sure. We're all human. Everybody makes mistakes on occasion. Okay. And normally that mistake is fixed or corrected and flagged pretty quickly, if I do. But these mistakes are primarily not mine.
We have a problem with the podcast for some of you guys where it's skipping quite a bit in some cases.
Or cutting off.
Right. Now, the first thing that you guys need to know is that we're getting about 200,000 downloads a day right now. So to expect perfection on all 200,000, that's not my expectation. But it's happening long enough, and you guys are complaining about it enough, and Kaylee is taking enough heat for it, even though it's not his fault, that we're trying to fix it, but we can't do this alone.
Correct. So instead of leaving us a bad review, contact us. If you can, make a note of kind of around the area that you think it dropped off or skipped.
So by skipped, it's like if you were, and I don't know if people get this analogy, but like you're listening to a record and they're listening to a song and all of a sudden, like a couple seconds, it fast forwards a couple seconds and just like skips to a different part.
Yeah, or goes from like, you know, they'll be like very engaged in the topic we're talking about. And then for whatever the reason, it skips into a completely different topic.
Now, the company that hosts our podcast is as utterly confused as we are. And the problem here is they can't really track it. And Cassie gave a great analogy the other day. It's like when you go to the doctor's office, right? And you're having these symptoms, but then you get in front of the doctor and you don't have the symptoms. Or you bring your car into the shop, right? And it's making that, hey, I'm bringing my car in because it's going thumpity, 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 thumpity. And then you get into the garage and there's no thumpity, thumpity, thumpity. So they don't know where to look. And that's where we need your help.
Yeah, so if this is happening to you, we've set up an email address. It's podcast@thebertshow.com.
With an S on the end?
Nope, podcast@thebertshow.com. And here's what we need to know. We need to know what episode you were listening to, how far into the episode it happened, like when did it mess up? And here's why it's so tricky to diagnose the problem is because we don't know, is it your Wi-Fi? Is it your phone? Is it the operating system? Is it on our end? Is it because you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Google Podcast? Were you in a bad reception area? So we need to know all this stuff. So I'm going to run down the list of what we would like, and we can talk with you about it over the email. So don't feel like intimidated, but what episode, how far into the episode it happened, where were you listening, like on Apple or Spotify? What type of phone do you have and is it updated? And were you connected to Wi-Fi or not? And lastly, there's a new lead. Were you listening via Bluetooth?
Ooh.
Okay. All super, super important for us. And again, not Kaylee's fault. He does a lot of things wrong, but this is not one of them.
Triple. Like, I have set up measures because I kind of, you know, go in autopilot. I've been doing this for so long, and I do it every day. So I'm pretty efficient at what I do.
Yeah, but I have
set other measures
to track myself
and correct myself.
His, Kaylee's got a podcast called Manfuse. I haven't heard that skipped once.
Huh, interesting.
No, it has skipped.
Oh, it has?
Manfused has skipped as well.
Shut up, you're messing up my joke.
Well, was it funny?
Well, it's... All right, so...
The Bird Show.
Her mom wants to bring a plus one that nobody knows to her kid's birthday party. She wants to shut mom down. How do you do it? Abby's got the email.
Hi, Bird Show. I need your help very quickly. My mother texted me this morning asking if she could bring a plus one with her to our kids' birthday party in July. Our kids are Irish twins, and their birth dates are literally 2 weeks apart, so we tend to combine the event. I would ask my husband, yet I know he will immediately say, no, she always does this, beep, and my gut reaction when she texted me this morning was no, not appropriate. My parents have been divorced since 2006 and my dad remarried a couple years ago. Long story, but my mom is not a fan and struggles to be around my dad's wife. She does this from time to time and asks if a friend or a plus one can come by the house or meet up for a family event like Easter dinner. When we say yes, almost every time, it's awkward, and she ends up breaking it off with these guys weeks later. The birthday party will be in a public event place with our kids' friends and our adult friends, along with my dad and his wife, my sister, and her family. My mom tends to gather her troops at events where she might be riding solo. I don't like bringing over random people for it to just be a one or two time thing because my kids always ask questions afterward. And I feel like I have to clean up her messiness. What are all your thoughts? We have never met this new plus one. Should I just follow my gut? Honestly, I know she's been seeing someone, so I assume this plus one is a romantic plus one. Thanks.
So from a guy that came from a family with that everybody cut each other off and have very little ties to family, that's really the way to go. So much less stress. You have to deal with everybody else's problems. It's so much easier to go at it alone. I don't know. What do you guys do?
I get it. And if I were in this position, I wouldn't want my mom to continue to bring a different guy every time and make it awkward. It's certainly something I wouldn't want to see happen. But I don't know how you tell your mom that she can't bring anybody. It just feels wrong to allow others to bring a plus one and then to tell your mom because of your decisions you can't.
From what you've told us, you would never approach this with your mom.
If she was in this position and it was like that bad to the point where I felt like it was making it difficult for everybody around and I was truly embarrassed by it, I would probably have a conversation with her. But I would be honest. I would completely say to her, listen, if you're going to bring a plus one, it can't continue to be these guys that you cause all of this drama with, and then you're not speaking 2 weeks later. So I'd prefer, if that's the case, for you to come alone and just respect the fact that we no longer want to see that.
Yeah, I feel really bad for the mom in this situation. As somebody who's chronically single, like, I show up to a lot of places, a lot of events alone. Mm-hmm. And that's, after a while, especially if, like, you're going to be confronted with your ex, like, that's a really... It just sucks. Like, it's a sucky situation to constantly come to places by yourself to feel like you're always in situations where you don't really have anyone else. Because, like, let's face it, they're going to be preoccupied with their kids and the dad's going to have the new wife. For me, I kind of feel for the mom.
Well, okay, let's stay on this, you showing up by yourself for a second here. And let's just assume mom's going to show up for herself. What is the awkwardness for you? Because maybe it's different for women. As a dude, if you show up, you specifically, mm-hmm, show up to a party by yourself, there is not one thought that, oh, Abby's alone again. Is that how you think that people are seeing you?
No. For me, it's not an insecurity thing. I like being alone. I'm totally fine by that. And I don't have a problem being a single adult out in this world. I don't. For me, there's not a stigma. But when you are in a situation where everybody has somebody else, like, especially at weddings and your friends either have their boyfriend or their fiance as a plus one and you're there by yourself, it's a very weird situation. It almost makes you feel I always feel like it makes me feel like a little kid almost. Like I'm not as adult as everybody else.
It's like odd woman out.
Odd woman out. And so I have a lot of empathy for the mom in this situation where she probably feels that way.
Has anybody done anything at like a wedding that you showed up to by yourself or a party where there are a whole bunch of couples and you're there by yourself? Has anybody done anything that has made you feel that way, or is this self-imposed?
It's self-imposed, but I don't think that's unfair to say that it's just a feeling that you have to deal mm-hmm. with. Like when I remember after a wedding, like a year or two ago, we went out to drinks afterwards, and everybody's got their person next to them. So when there's conversations going on, you know, it's maybe two couples talking and the other two couples talking, and maybe a side conversation, and you're kind of sitting there just waiting for everybody else to start a group conversation again. And it's just a very isolating experience.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'm with Abby and the fact that I feel for the mom and the fact that the husband remarried so shortly after the divorce and she doesn't like the wife. And so she has to, if she shows up alone, it probably makes her feel less than because she hasn't found that next person. And it seems to me she's damned if she do, she's damned if she doesn't. Because if she rides solo, she gathers the troop and makes a mess of the party. Or she brings a rando and it's a little bit awkward and she has to explain to the kids. So I feel like you can't win in either situation. So just let her bring the plus one.
That's what I would do also. I'm avoiding that conversation. Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
The Bird Show.
All right, Kristen. So there you were visiting a friend. Maybe you were someplace you weren't supposed to be.
No.
And things got awkward, maybe. Maybe.
That awkward moment, you're staying with a friend and you find a Nazi uniform in their closet.
Okay, that's a good tease. Okay.
Let me break it down for you.
All ears.
Uh-huh. And my husband and I and Jimmy went to go visit some friends who we haven't seen in years. I'm talking, this was pre-COVID. It's been probably like at least 5 years since we've been together in person. Of course, you see each other on social media and text, but we haven't like actually been in each other's presence in a really long time. So
I'm guessing he's been busy at rallies and stuff like that.
Maybe.
He's got his Nazi uniform in the closet.
So we fly to see them. They haven't met Jimmy yet, and their kids have grown so much, and we're really looking forward to this visit. And we arrive, we get into the guest bedroom.
And just to define this friendship, not only have you guys known each other for a super long time.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah, I know this dude too. He's a super quality dude.
Yeah, he is.
Like you would just never, you would never put these two things together. Like if there was a list of people and a list of this infraction, they would absolutely be on polar opposites. You'd go like that dude would never even be close to one of these.
Yeah, like he's bald, but not by choice. Okay, like that's.
he didn't shave his head, is
no,
that what you're saying?
Exactly. No, he did not. So we get to the house and we're taking our stuff up to the guest bedroom and we're getting situated. And to make more room, because Jimmy's going to be sleeping on a blow-up mattress, we open the closet to put the suitcases in there because there's not going to be any room on the floor for the suitcases. So I'm there and I'm doing something on the bed and my husband Bart's putting the suitcase into the closet and he goes, I need you to see something. And he pulls out the sleeve, and it's a brown uniform, and there's the swastika on the sleeve.
I feel like this is right out of a Family Guy episode.
I'm not. And so I'm standing there, and I'm like, huh.
Stunned.
Yeah. I mean, like, just floored. And my brain, your brain starts, all the wheels start turning, right? And you're like, why on God's green earth would he have a Nazi uniform in the closet?
Because there is nothing that's going to come to mind that makes common sense. You wouldn't say like, okay, maybe it was a Halloween party.
No.
Because it's as big an offense.
There is no like quality reason a person should have an item like this. And it's like real deal uniform. And I just kind of, we're just both kind of looking at each other like,
So now you're having the inner dialogue like, do I mention this to my friend? I mean, now what?
Oh, I'm going to mention it. Like, we literally have just arrived. We haven't even taken the first thing out of the bag. So, his wife and daughter were not there. It was just he and his son. So, we go downstairs. And we're sitting on the couch, and Jimmy is playing with his son, who's older. They're having a big time. And he was so excited to have a little brother, because he's all he's ever known is a sister. So he's super excited to have a little brother. So they're having this really, really sweet moment playing in the living room. And we're sitting there on the couch, and I was like, well, no time like the present.
How do you bring this up?
Uh-huh. And I just go, hey. Why do you get a Nazi uniform in your closet? And he immediately turns and looks at me, because I mean, you have to ask. And he starts dying laughing. And I'm like, I don't really find Nazis funny, but all right, like, where is this going? So then he proceeds to tell me that is my daughter's costume closet. She is in musicals, and she was in The Sound of Music.
I knew it!
And she played the role, Max, or she played a male role in the musical, and she was the one that helped the Von Trapp children and family escape the Nazis. So if you're not familiar with The Sound of Music, the musical tells the story of Maria, who takes a job as a governess to a large family while she decides whether to become a nun. She falls in love with the children and their widowed father, Captain Von Trapp. He's ordered to accept a commission in the German Navy, but he opposes the Nazis. He and Maria decide to flee from Austria with the children. Ryan was in this play, and she was the person that helped them escape. And by escaping, they wore Nazi uniforms to escape the Nazis. And so that's why there's a Nazi uniform in the closet.
Literally the only acceptable answer in the universe.
No, Jojo Rabbit. Recreating the movie Jojo Rabbit would be another one, but that's it. That's all you got.
So they, and you know, it was controversial with the parents, because we're talking about like a preteen here, right? That's but they're doing this play and this musical, and they're keeping it authentic. And so it's at a mall where the theater is. So the people had to tell them, normally the kids during intermission and stuff would just like walk around in their costumes. And she's like, you can't have kids in Nazi uniforms walking around the mall. Nobody's going to understand. That's not going to go over well.
She's going in there in an eclairs?
Yes. So that's why the uniform is in the closet.
That makes perfect sense.
Yes, okay. It does.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Kesha says she almost died after she had complications freezing her eggs. This is so scary. So weeks after the fertility treatment, Kesha said she felt weak and she was struggling to walk. She did this performance during a New Year's Eve show in the Bahamas. And so she goes in to get checked out, and doctors say that she was suffering from this really rare and very serious complication called CVID. It's an immune system disorder that causes you to have low levels of the proteins that help fight infections. She spent 9 days in the hospital because of this, and it took her months afterwards to recover. She says she's starting to feel better now, and she's actually happy that she took her reproductive health into her own hands.
It sounds like this is something like it's like a 1 in a million chance. It's like, you know how they always list off and you sign, when you're signing those documents before you do any kind of surgery. And it's, the odds are slim that any of that stuff happens, but obviously it does happen to somebody because there's a reason why they list it off. They make you sign all those documents before you proceed.
Yeah, and I'm glad she's sharing her truth and her experience, but also it does tend, I think, sometimes to it adds to like a little bit panic. Like you're not hearing about the 2 million procedures that went along great and changed people's lives forever.
Yeah, she said this isn't to deter anybody from doing this. Like, I think she recognizes that this is a rare case. But yeah, she said she's still glad that she went through with it.
Yeah, and I mean, she's recovered fine. So even if it does happen to you, not saying that like the worst case scenario couldn't have happened. So I think it's important for someone as public as Kesha to speak up, because I think sometimes women think, well, if I don't want to have kids until I'm XYZ age, I'll just freeze my eggs and it's super easy. Mm-hmm. For some people it is, and obviously for some people it's not.
Look, the human body is pretty complicated. So it's not, what's going to work for one is not going to work for the other.
I mean, on a much, much, much smaller scale, I was very honest when I came on here and told everybody about the HSG test that you have to take when you're going through infertility and stuff. And that's like they shoot this dye through your tubes to make sure there's no blockage or whatever. And they're like, oh, you'll have mild cramping. I levitated off of that table. It was so painful. And granted, it's like, it's not for long, but then in the phone lines lit up because of women who experienced the same thing. Like, yes, we were told it was going to be this, mm-hmm. but I was blown away by how painful it was. And I just feel like you got to be honest about that stuff. For me, when it comes to medical procedures, don't sugarcoat it. Like, I need to be properly and mentally prepared for what I'm about to go through.
I'd rather you tell me the other side. I'd rather you tell me how awful this potentially can be, so I'm bracing for that. So even if it's remotely, like, painful, I was expecting the worst.
Well, this is a problem for women across, like, all health fields in medicine. They just don't tell you about the pain. There's that. There's IUDs. When you get those put in, can be very painful. Some women have almost fainted, but they're like, you'll feel a small pinch.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. The same with taking a sample of the cervix. We learned it's like a hole punch. They hole punch your cervix and give you absolutely no pain relief. And they're like, you'll just feel a pinch. And they're lying to our faces. So I feel so bad when you're a woman going into a medical procedure. You don't actually know what to expect.
Amy Schumer does a couple of minutes in this in her new stand-up where she's talking about how women are treated differently than guys are when it comes to anything in the medical field. Like, most men are the ones that are performing these kind of surgeries, and they're very complicated, and in a lot of cases, they don't know exactly what to do. But if a dude goes in there and says, like, hey, I'm having a problem with my penis, then there's a pill for that.
Yeah.
No problem. Guy needs help. Doctors are there to help. Woman needs help, they're a little bit more confused.
Although there's at least one doctor, and don't get me wrong, this is high medical malpractice. I do not endorse this at all. But he does, what is it when you get the snip-snip?
Vasectomies.
And he's doing one, and about halfway through the procedure, the guy is retelling this, the doctor like peeks up over the curtain and is like, do you really feel like you should be doing this? Shouldn't your wife have to do this?
Oh,
and the guy in the chair getting the procedure done goes, no, man, this is a really quick, easy procedure for me. Like, it's going to be one and done. Why would I put that stress on my wife? Mm-hmm. That would be much more complicated. We're equal partners, like something like that. And the doctor goes, good answer. This is when the medication wears off for most men, but for you, it's going to keep going.
Oh, wow.
So if the man in the seat would be like, yeah, my wife should have done this. This is BS. The medication just happens to wear off halfway through the procedure. I told you it's malpractice, but I got to say, there are some times men get the short end of the stick. Okay. That stopped the conversation.
Glad I got mine done already. But I do know what the right answer is now.
For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Bird Show.
If I have this right, Abby just said that she would want me to give away everything I have earned for me to look like Matt Rife.
I would give everything away for Matt Rife to come and be on the show, but I don't know if I want him to be your replacement.
I said I would give up all of this to look like Matt Rife, and she said I would too. Meaning, like, you would give away what I have built for me to look like Matt Rife.
I meant that I would give up everything to look like Matt Rife.
We were talking about him earlier this morning, so he came back up, and I didn't really know all that much about him, and I started watching his videos, and I'm like, this is just not fair. Like, God is like, he gave him great looks, and he's funny. There's got to be something super wrong with this dude somewhere down the line.
You should only be able to get one. I feel that way about Natalie Portman, who is beautiful, talented actress, speaks several languages, went to Harvard. I'm like, no, you don't get all of that.
Right.
You can pick maybe two. I'll let you be attractive and in movies.
It's logic. It's the balance of life, too, so... I mean, God did extra on this dude, so he did way less for somebody else.
I don't know if it was God. I think it was Dr. G-O-D.
That is what they mean when they say God giveth and God taketh away.
All right, so Abby has a podcast called The Breakup Breakdown. She'll tell you about that, but there still are some that are unsolved breakups.
Yes, so every time I end a season, I have like this batch of submissions that I've looked into, I've DM'd people, I've called up private investigators to figure out what happened in these relationships. And I, you know what? I'm not God. I can't make every story happen. I can't always get answers, but some of these genuinely keep me up at night.
So the podcast itself is a series of interviews with people that were in bad breakups, and they tell their side, and they're jaw-dropping.
Horrible. Oh my gosh, and the ones that I've been interviewing for the upcoming one I'm starting to drop next week. They're so dramatic. It's amazing. But yeah, every now and then there's some loose ends, and I basically have all these submissions that I wish I could have figured out, but I can't. Okay.
So we will just try to guess what we think might have happened.
We're going to come to our own conclusions. So this first one that I have, it's a submission about a couple where one of them might have cheated on the other while living abroad. So it was this couple that went to high school together. They started dating freshman or sophomore year, on again, off again, always ended up back together. They go to college together, and then turns out she got pregnant. Everything seemed to be working out for them, though. They bought a house, had a baby, started a family, moved to another state, and then they got engaged. No issues. Everything's great. Then out of nowhere, they decided to sell all their belongings and move to Costa Rica. They hyped it up on social media. They started talking about working to live instead of living to work. They even created an Instagram account where they were posting pretty regularly about their adventures. It was supposed to last several months. And then after 6 weeks or so, the girl posted a picture with the son back in the U.S. The last point on their the last post on their joint account said nothing about leaving Costa Rica. The girl started posting pics with just herself and her son, but it was kind of weird. Fast forward, and the guy's mom's posts about him for the first time, and he's engaged to somebody else.
Ooh.
4 days later, the guy in the new his and 4 days later, the guy and his new fiance have a gender reveal. Crazy. Did he meet her in Costa Rica? Is she the reason they broke up? I'm so perplexed as to what happened.
Well, so we don't know if she's Costa Rican or not. We have no idea if they met down there. Where else would he have met her?
We don't know. So she's the one detail that I skipped over, which I'm like, does this even matter? Apparently, she looks really similar to the first girl that he was engaged to. So I don't know what these people look like because I don't remember. I DM a lot of people. But
so in a case like this, do you follow back up trying to get answers, or is this a cold case now?
I always do one follow up because I don't want to get reported for harassment, because then I won't be able to DM people, and then I won't have a podcast and it'll suck. I always give them two chances. I do one, and then I wait like a couple of months, and then I go back in. I'm like, hey, still thinking about your breakup every night.
Can other people DM on your behalf?
No. I mean,
no, that is harassment.
From a burner account.
Yes, different accounts.
For legal purposes, I am not encouraging this. Okay, this one is about middle school sweethearts that got engaged, and then the girl soft launched her breakup on her Snapchat. So this couple had been together since middle school, and everyone was jealous of their relationship. They're so happy. They never had to be single. It was wonderful. He was super attractive, smart, all-star athlete. She was the genius. She wanted to be a lawyer, and he an accountant. It was the suburban dream. They decided to go to the same college together, and everything seemed great. They announced their engagement, and everyone was so excited for them because they'd been together for like 10 years. And then one day, in late 2022, she posted on her Snapchat story a picture of her niece wearing a shirt that said, "My mom's taken, but my aunt," which is this girl, "is hot, smart, and single." My jaw hit the floor. I went to check her Instagram, and they both deleted their pictures together. Mm. Remember, they've been together for a decade, and she changed her Instagram bio to, "If you're gonna be stupid, you better be tough."
Ooh.
Sounds like she's sending a message.
If you're gonna be stupid, you better be tough.
I know. So maybe he did something stupid. Maybe he cheated on her, probably. That's always our default. We're always sitting there. We're like, somebody cheated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. All right, you can check it out where?
It's on anywhere you get your podcasts. It's called The Breakup Breakdown.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.